Welcome to the Gifts Compass podcast. My name is Nicholas Toko and I'm an organizational effectiveness consultant and currently training as a Jungian analyst in Zurich, Switzerland. I'm from London in the UK and my family origins are from Uganda in East Africa.
My name is James Johnston. I'm the author of the book Jung's Indispensable Compass and the lead architect for the Gifts Compass inventory. I live in the United States, currently in Northwest Ohio.
My name is Annelies Lanne-Sijs. I am a self-awareness and mental fitness coach, and I work with individuals wanting to add more meaning and enjoyment to their life. I am from Estonia and currently living in Geneva, Switzerland.
This podcast is about the Gifts Compass Inventory, or GCI. The GCI offers a fresh approach to Swiss psychologist Carl Jung's original 8 psychological types. The well-validated and broadly acclaimed Gifts Compass Inventory focuses on the personal growth and development of unique individuals. We're passionate about type and our aim is to help you understand type, how to use type to better understand yourself, to have better relationships at home, in a social setting, or in the workplace.
Really happy to introduce to you today Daniel Rohrer. He's a dear friend of mine who I had a real pleasure to meet a few years ago when he came to Geneva and we were working together for a few years. And everybody loved Daniel in our team. Daniel is very tall and we used to all say that Daniel's heart is as big as he is. Very sweet, very caring. Yeah, he is like the love that enters the room. That's how I would describe Daniel. And we'll find out more about him today in our podcast, analyzing every possible way.
That's great. Let's do what we usually do. We can read Melody, as we call it. We'll just go down his bar charts from the GCI profile and get a sense of what might have been influencing his life to date, where his energy's been flowing, what he's enjoyed, and how he might appear to others. So you've already tipped us off that we have a very sweet guy here. And so it's not unusual to find extroverted feeling, the social gifts, at the top of the chart. So with those highest, we could expect someone who's very gregarious and interested in others and relates well to others. But what else would we know with extroverted feeling in the lead? What's some of what we would know about Daniel's life?
So if we would imagine someone with a lot of friends, someone who has a great desire to communicate, he's the one who holds the groups together. And we also know that with people with extroverted feeling, they try to keep harmony in groups. And they are the holders of the traditions and of the family, of the organization, or of their culture. Many times what could also happen is they put their own needs in the background as they try to make everybody else happy around them. They have a very high level of empathy.
Yes. Nick?
Yeah, I would agree. Mostly I'll start off with one of the qualities of a person who really enjoys social gifts, this actively seeking harmony in groups, is putting others first before themselves, I think is quite a very natural way for them to really put the group and others first before themselves. And obviously that can come with some detriments to themselves and may not always think of their own being before others. This idea of seeking harmony in groups is very important for them. Very sociable, obviously, preference for working in groups. This gift has these personal qualities that make them highly relatable to others. I think we've, in the GCR, we'll describe them as highly gregarious, empathetic, and self-sacrificing, right? Very adaptable to different conditions, maybe different countries, different organizations, different social groups. They're able to adapt and really relate to different people, different cultures, extending their empathy to others and to what those people hold dear. Very easy to strike up a conversation with them, very expressive. I think those are the kind of predispositions that this individual will have. And I guess even standard conventional values, they would really be affirming of those. In terms of their family, they might make sacrifices for their own well-being for the benefit of the family as well. And as I said, the group, the organization, or the nation. What else can I say about this? I like this quote, what is thought must first be felt, is a really good quote, I think, for this particular gift is they feel, right? They feel more than they think. And I really like that quote. What is thought must first be felt is a good, it's a good quote to summarize this gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that comes directly from Carl Jung. And he certainly knew what he was talking about. Yeah. I don't know if I have anything to add. Very adaptable, very quick to relate to other individuals. The standard bearer of values, I think, is key. And it strikes me that, as you've said, that there is an interest in upholding the traditional values, but also adaptable that way, that if Daniel were to step into a culture where the values were quite different from what he's accustomed to, I think he could very quickly adapt to the values of that culture. And so we add extroverted feeling and extroverted sensation, and we get a very extroverted persona, a very extroverted individual. Extroverted sensation is that fun-loving, outgoing, energetic type that has really tremendous energy for being out in the world. Annalise, do you want to elaborate on that a bit?
On the realistic gifts?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very fun-loving. They like to experience the moment in life or the moments in life, take all in. They notice a lot of little details. They like to enjoy life as it comes. In the moment. And they love to have fun. Having fun is very important. They have a great appreciation for good food, for good coffee. I have a feeling also that the realistic types are quite fast in their pace. Personally, I believe it because they love to have fun. So they want to get things done so that they can always have their fun scheduled into their life as well.
Yes, as everyone who listens to our podcast knows, extroverted, realistic gifts, accurately experiencing the moment is my absolutely top favorite gift, and I live and breathe it. And I always laugh when Annalise talks about it because I know there's certain aspects of realistic gifts, the fast-paced nature that I know you've encountered in the workplace. It can be a little bit frustrating, maybe problematic, I don't know. But yeah, absolutely. And I wanted just to reverse back a little bit to social gifts, something I wanted to say. In a work setting, I get on very well actually with individuals who have this gift in their lead, the social gifts. And one thing I noticed with people who have this as a preference is that I'm always surprised how they can very intently empathize with one somber individual in the workplace, one moment, and then swiftly move on to someone else and have a very cheerful demeanor. And I've seen that in the office. And it always amazes me how they can really adapt to different people's moods, right? Someone who's perhaps not particularly happy and the other person is. And it's really nice to see. But yeah, absolutely. Love to have fun, very much in the here and now, not thinking about the past, not thinking about the future, just enjoying the moment and really just content to experience life as it comes. I think very also quite remarkably adaptable to their environment, very similar to social gifts. So they will really adapt to a new environment quite quickly, right? And just enjoy it for what it is. Always talk about the five senses as ways in which a person with this gift really enjoys life. So they'll, as Annalise said, good food, a good wine, it could even be champagne. And it's not taken in any kind of sense where they're over-enjoying it. They're just enjoying the sensuous moment of it. And it's not necessarily excessive. It can be quite refined and disciplined, what they enjoy in terms of sports, how they spend their time, restaurants, food. But yeah, I think very much their enjoyment of life is very buoyant and fun-loving and gregarious. Very similar actually to extrovert feeling. The two could be confused, right? Because they share very similar qualities. But I think with social gifts and realistic gifts, this is a person who really enjoys socializing with people and over some activity, right? Like maybe dinner or sports or even a work environment, a project. And if it's beyond even boundaries, I'd imagine this person really enjoys working internationally with different people and is almost like the glue at a party, at a workplace event. They'll really bring people together.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, my sense of realistic gifts, extroverted sensation, is that Daniel would also be very good at reading a room. He could step into a situation, walk into a room, there's a lot going on, a lot of people. He could very quickly get a sense of kind of the politics of the room, the dynamics, the social dynamics of the room, and who's in it. But these two together, oh my gosh, tremendous extroverted energy at work. And as you said, Nick, very compatible. Extroverted sensation and extroverted feeling, they make great compatriots, these two types. And then there's the third, which is quite interesting, because now we go to the introverted side. And the aesthetic gifts, for me, are the most thematic of the eight types. So we know with the social gifts that there's an orientation to the present and to the past. And with the realistic gifts, extroverted sensation, very much attention to the moment. As we introduce the aesthetic gifts, there's an orientation to history in a way. There's an orientation to what has come before, which I would think would amplify the interest of the social gifts, extroverted feeling, in understanding the values of a culture. In regards to Jung, characterized this type as having a million-year-old consciousness. It can be in a present moment and at the same time experience or have an awareness of everything that's come before in that place or that culture. Very unusual in its capacity to feel the past and the present. And of course, we call them the aesthetic gifts because there's also a high sensitivity to aesthetic, to the artistic, to particular colors or sounds or music, very sensitive to certain particular elements of what's been perceived by extroverted sensation. And these two work quite compatibly together as well, extroverted sensation and the aesthetic gifts, introverted sensation. Would you like to add more, either of you, to the aesthetic gifts description?
Yes, like a very powerful combination with a social, realistic, and aesthetic together, throwing fun parties with good food in a beautiful environment with the aesthetics in there. But the aesthetic function also be in awe of the nature and the universe, everything that surrounds us, and has this quiet way of observing the world and using all the different sensations. So I think that with the aesthetic gifts in the combination with the social realistic, it adds real depth to the socialization and to the being, as the aesthetic is able to also be in a quiet moment. I think there is so much enjoyment together, and it goes so deep with the aesthetic gifts. So I can imagine that he can also really enjoy quiet and slow moments at the same time and be able to take in a lot.
Aesthetic gifts, we're getting the first sort of look into the person's inner world. So there's less of a focus on the outer world as with social gifts and realistic gifts. The person's really focusing on the outer world, or as we call it, the outer object, people, places, things. And we're getting our first glimpse of this individual's person's preference for their inner world, which, as you both said, is a very quiet, maybe subdued, may look subdued and quite difficult for others to read because it's not showing as much expression as the first two gifts. But there's a lot going on, right? So they're very deep impressions of what's happening, and they're taking in that and really capturing the vibrant heals, hues and feelings that go with that situation. I think it's a kind of a very rich inner life that might be very difficult to find words for. So poetry, art, music, photography, dance may give expression to that experience. But it's conspicuously quite calm. And as I said, if I was to look at the first two gifts and this aesthetic gifts, it may express itself in the events that this person is getting involved in might have a lot of deep meaning for them. So they're not socializing for socializing's sake. They probably do, but occasionally there'll be a very deep meaning as to why we're socializing here with friends. That's quite a very, very personal to them, maybe related to their culture, related to family, but there'll be some very deep meaning, I'd imagine.
Yeah. And as you point out, a deeply introverted type. So it provides a nice balance for these first two highly extroverted, highly energetic types. The introverted sensation is very quiet. It's very difficult to express what's being experienced there. And you add the next one, visionary, also deeply introverted intuition. And with these two in play, you get a sense that Daniel will have a very extroverted life, and he will also have to withdraw. He'll need time alone because these two introverted gifts need their time. And that time is a quiet time, and it's introverted, and it's away from people. But introvert intuition is the largest picture window in Jung's model of the images of the archetypal unconscious. It's full of imagination, full of images that simply arrive, not images in the external sense, but a special kind of image in the way of ideas that have no characteristic boundaries, no time and space boundaries. There, an idea is an image of a possibility. And so these visionary gifts are just chock full of these images of the future. And not the future as in tomorrow or the next day, but for the next 100 years or thousands of years. Very quick to see holistically what the future might hold. At the same time that it tends to be a highly creative gift. And combined with the aesthetic gifts, one would expect with these two that there would be some interest in art or the expression, the creative expression in some way, be it music or theater or painting or sculpture, or at least an appreciation for these things. Would you like to say more about introverted intuition, Annalise or Nick?
I never asked Daniel. Now I'm wondering if he likes to write, because the aesthetic and visionary together, there could be a lot of writing that could take place and happen. And then I also imagine that the visionary kind of, because it's able to see such a big picture, and then the extroverted are kind of acting in the moment, but it gives this sense of, to me, a sense of holding space, because it's able to see such a big picture and put the small moments in perspective in a very large scale. So he's able to the bigger meaning of little things that might maybe shake up others, but because of his picture view, he might remain calm. A thought on that.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking there's a bit of a past and future here, looking at the aesthetic gifts and the visionary gifts. So you have a sort of a vision for themselves, a personal vision, the grasp of the past through this collective, grasping of the collective past, right? But at the same time, they have a personal vision for themselves. There's a bit of a pathway about where they're going. And I wonder when they take time out, as you said, James, to recollect themselves after socializing so much and being in the present, that it may be a bit of a needle to where am I going with all this? A bit of a path about where am I going with all this socializing and my life? And I'd imagine probably it might inform a lot of how they interact with other people, that there could be a vision for themselves in that. But yeah, absolutely. It's very introverted, as you said, and it attends to inner imagination and very much a vision for their whole life, their voice, their work, and the outworking of their own lives probably might reflect that dream life that they experience. So it'll be very interesting to hear how Daniel sees his personal vision for himself and his social life, and if the two are related in any way. Again, a very rich inner life here, but definitely much more personal.
Yeah, and it might be interesting to note that the visionary gifts, introverted intuition, are the exact opposite of his second gift, realistic gifts, extroverted sensation. So that'll create a sort of tension of opposites in his life that no doubt he has resolved over time. But the tension would be to, shall I go introverted and experience this marvelous inner life of imagination, or should I be out there present to each moment as it arrives? And there would have been probably earlier in his life a certain tension in that way. Maybe the tension is becoming stronger as he gets older, because I would imagine that the social gifts and the realistic gifts pretty well dominated or prevailed over any tension of opposites earlier in his life. Let's take on the fifth one and then stop there. The fifth introduces thinking function, actually both the fifth and the sixth, but with the fifth, we have the constructive gifts, extroverted thinking. This is the one that's going to keep Daniel well organized, create boundaries for all that imagination, that rich imagination that's occurring within, and also boundaries for that extroverted sensation that wants to live without boundaries, but wants to engage in the world endlessly, moment to moment, whatever the next sort of shining object, the next glittering opportunity is, to be present to the moment. Extroverted sensation would want to be there. And extroverted thinking will begin to create sort of boundaries or borders or controls for that. And we'll also be very good at simply getting things done, to figuring out what needs to happen and how it needs to happen and making sure that it does. But also, like extroverted feeling, very collaborative with extroverted sensation. Annalise, do you want to add to that in any way?
Yeah. I'm seeing, the constructive gifts, like the river bed, where you throw in all the social, realistic, aesthetic, and visionary, and the river bed helps to direct all those four into a direction where Daniel would like to go. Yeah, because all the social, realistic have a lot of fun, and then aesthetic and visionary want to just have fun in the head, away from everybody else. And then the constructive come in and exactly like you said, James, set those boundaries and give a direction.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, usually very productive, positive and orderly. I like to look at this from a workplace perspective. They'll construct improved standards and policies and procedures and work very well in organizations and environments where there's a need to create tangible order out of a seeming disorder of many facts. So they're very concrete thinkers, very attentive to details, and confident in their objective view of logical conclusions. Those people who naturally organize the world often find their way into leadership roles in organizations, and they really enjoy applying rules and standards and traditions and operating procedures to construct order. Extroverted as a gift, it is extroverted. And constructive in terms of being able to gather lots of facts, but may not necessarily go into a lot of depth with them, if that makes sense. They'll know a lot about many things, but may not go into depth, which is what the conceptual gifts does, tends to go in depth into one thing, one subject, whereas the constructive gifts are more broad.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so this is really a very well-balanced profile. We have two or three rational types that are creating the boundaries for three highly receptive types. We have the strong extroversion in the first two being balanced by strong introversion in the second two. So you get a sense that Daniel's a very well-balanced individual and has the capability of moving it certainly in more than one direction. His energy is flowing inward and outward, rationally and receptively, So it'll be interesting to learn more about Daniel's experience with these types. Daniel, this has been our best shot at reviewing what we think your life might have been like. Please tell us if anything that we said is related to your actual experience with this profile.
Thank you very much, James. It's actually, it has been a quite interesting trip, the one you should just took me for this half an hour. It resonates a lot of things, actually. I could find for every of the things that you were mentioning, every one of the gifts, or at least any of the descriptions, I was able to find a moment in my life, or a moment or a specific example that I could feel related and that resonate. Lisi at the beginning, also Nick mentioned about this idea of the holders of tradition. I think it was in the first one. And I always ask myself that, where is my mission within at least my family spectrum? My family came from a very humble background, and they worked their life very hardly in a complicated Argentina to grow, to evolve. And I became the first university graduate in the family. So I clearly see a path with my grandparents, my mother, my father, and then me, as you were coming from. And I always joke with my mom saying that you have grandkids. It's not still not the case, but whenever you have grandkids, the most important is for you to explain them that probably they will be in a better situation than where you were born. And it's important for me that they can know that and they can understand that sense of a path. So whenever you were telling about holders, a tradition, a mission, etc., it came in my life very naturally in that way. I didn't know if there was a category or there was a way to analyze this, but it's interesting. And quite lately, it is true that most of my life, I like to socialize with people, we talk to people, but it's true that when I'm becoming older, as you say, James, I have seen myself wondering about meaning, no mission, what's important, what is not, what should I pay more attention, what is not, a more reflexive way of understanding and going deeper, not necessarily in imagination, but at least trying to be more conscious of what is around. I discovered quite recently a writer from Austria called Stefan Zweig, and I love him, actually. I have read many books in the past year and a half about him. And what I am amazed about him, it's the way he describes things, because he is able to go deep on the description, but also put that in context within their own moment and within the world history. And I like that. And when you were saying, okay, someone that goes out, but also goes in and sometimes takes time and sometimes go on many details, but sometimes goes deep on the detail. I understood that there is some parts of my personality that makes me like this type of writing and enjoy this type of writing. And I find myself in several times asking me things, trying to describe, trying to understand what is beyond the surface. And yes, there are a couple of things that can handle that, the idea of that adaptability, the idea of being in other cultures, it comes handy at job, I would say. It's easy for me to travel to different countries, and I try to understand other cultures. Not necessarily mean that I would live in most of the cultures that I have lived, but I try to understand where it comes from, the history, why they tried to do the things they try to do. And I find quite often that people like to share these experiences. So it helps me also to connect. So in my work life, but also I have been able to develop some very personal relationship with people from my work environment, regardless of the cultures they come from. I have the luck to work with people from all the way from China to Argentina and understand the cultures, the history. It's something that I like, but also I find it quite useful because in the end, it helps to connect with people at a different level and to keep a relationship that goes beyond work, although during work, it's important. And to summarize, I have taken quite several notes. There is one question that still, even I'm getting older, it's different, it's difficult to find a solution or an answer. It's how to find balance. It's always a question of balance between do a lot of things and to try to find the moment where I can enjoy a piece reading. I love art. To respond to these questions, I love writing. I used to do it. When I was a kid, I loved watching pieces of art. I love going to a museum. I'm not quite good in arts, at least, but I would like to get trained. I love music. I love, cannot understand life without music. I listen to music every single day of the, at every single day, at every single moment of the day. That helps me to concentrate and to go deep on thoughts. But yet it's always a question that between the balance, how much noise, how much silence do I need? So you can see, I feel really one last element, because it really counts, very interesting, because Lizzy was talking about food and the passion of food. Yes, I love food. But I had to visit a month and a half ago from one of my aunt from Argentina. I didn't see her in many years. She came here to visit us in Spain, and we were enjoying some food, some nice food. And she told me, I'm not sure if you remember, but you were about 6 years old, and you told me something that stayed with me over these 30 plus years. Say, well, what was that? They say, life happens over a plate of a good food. They say, and you had 5 years old and you said that to me. I say, okay, that's very interesting. But it seems true that you came together with when you enjoy that moment with food, with a good wine right now, life becomes easier and becomes nicer. And there are these small things that can make a beautiful life.
Thank you, Daniel. Can I ask us a couple of questions? I'm curious also about when you were younger, when you were a teenager, did you have a big social life around you? Was that also the case then? Or did you have a big group of friends? Or
I would say yes. I would say yes, because at the moment you're a young kid, but and you have many friends, because everyone, it's a friend. But in reality, down the road, when I grew up, I realized that I was able to keep the same friendships. So my group of friends, they are mostly in Argentina, but I have them since I was 5 years old. So what looks a normal group for a kid, in the end, it stayed as a group of friends. I have my same 5 friends from high school, from primary school when I joined the school, and I had my group of five friends, when I started university. And we have been more than 30 years together, and we talk each other every single day, and we are there always for each other. So what some people say, okay, yeah, it's normal, you have 5-6 friends, and then you go out, you do things. It happens to me that now that I'm getting older, and each of us has their own families, their own projects, etc., but we still remain together. So yes, I would say that's and I'm proud, because they are good people. And we were able to be together, to stay together for all this period of time as friends. And that's actually one of the things I'm very proud of.
And I have another question related to the transition. Like when you were transitioning from high school to university, was that something, how did you make a decision, for example, to what you're going to go study, for example, or do you remember anything specific?
I remember a lot. It was a very challenging moment of life, because what I was going to study, you have 15, 16 years old, so you start asking yourself what you would like to study. I want to study journalism. I want to study to become a chef. I want to study to being an architect. My grandmother told me, you don't have the talent, you don't have the patience to craft things with the hands, so go to another social science. And I ended up studying international relations, because I gathered 2 or 3 things that I love. History, one of those. Understanding complex processes around history, around geography, are the things that I like. I love politics. I like reading and understanding how society works. So I didn't know international relations until when I was in the, not in the last year, but in the previous one, from high school. One of my friends asked me to go with him to university to find out about international relations. And I was able to discover this field. And I said, okay, I'm not sure how I'm going to make a living out of this, but I understand that fits my skills, and at some point I will find a way. So I decided to study that. My mom has no clue what I studied, and so my family neither. Therefore, for many years, they say, what are you studying? So international, and it feels natural to me. I was very scared, because they say I had a lot of friends that they couldn't go through the program. They abandoned, they changed careers, they couldn't finish. And I was super scared about my decision at the time. But actually, I did very well. And that I ended up actually being one of the, not the first in average, but at least one of the first that graduated from my friends that we started together. And down the road, I found a field which is education. And I could apply two things. I could apply a little bit of knowledge, but a little bit of the skills that I learned in international relations to develop a career in international education. Right now, I have the sense of mission feeling, and I always make jokes. I'm probably not going to get a billionaire out of education, but I sleep well at night. It will really impact people's life. We really change people's life when you do your job well. And I apply those skills that I learned in international relations, being able to connect with different people in different cultures, trying to understand, try to see what is going to happen in the near future. That's something that worked really well at the time and is working quite well right now.
And Daniel, when you make time for yourself, can you tell us a little bit about how you do that? How do you find time for yourself and what do you do?
I don't have a plan. So, okay, a lot of people I know, for instance, I had people I know that say, okay, on Saturdays at 8 a.m., I go riding my bike and I came back home at 8 p.m. So they know that's their day. Or playing golf, for instance. That doesn't happen to me. My life is a little bit like a river. But I have some moments that I know that I can take some time. For instance, I fly a lot, so I travel a lot. So whenever I am in the airport, I know that a lot of people is very excited that they are going to put 5G on their air flights, on the planes. And they say, no, I don't really like that because it's 2 hours, 3 hours that I can disconnect. I don't have Wi-Fi, I don't have 5G. It doesn't matter. I take my book, I grab a glass of something that they serve in the flight, and I read. And I love that. Or when I'm in a train station, I love going by train. I try to disconnect my phone. It's not working. And I love seeing the train going, the feeling of the movement and reading. That's lovely. So I try to find the moments where I can do it. It's very hard to plan it ahead, but I would say that constantly trying to find those moments to enter, as a friend says, into a yellow submarine.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. That's great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a very interesting pleasure because makes me think about myself.
Yeah, there's looking at your relative enjoyment of all the gifts. As James said, there's quite a lot of balance there. All of them, and there's enjoyment of all eight of the gifts. And it's suddenly coming across in the way you've described your life and what you do.
But again, I think it's also the question, and it's always the key question, how to find the balance. That resonates really with me because sometimes it feels unbalanced one way or another one.
Yeah. Review of your life and how our reading related to it was excellent. And thanks so much for that. And just a side note, in a way, this search for balance, that's what Carl Jung called individuation. It's this process of dealing with these sort of opposing tensions and finding a way to integrate them both and to find your way to the center. That's really the heart of individuation, which is the greater, fuller, more robust development of you as a unique individual personality. So
I'll keep fighting.
Daniel, this has been a wonderful tour of, in a way, your whole life. And thanks so much for being with us and for giving us some insight into how these type dispositions have been influential in the life that you have lived and continue to live and are living. Thanks so much.